Why do you wrap a hamster in duct tape?
Oh, God.
So it doesn't explode when you fuck it. I'll be here all week, folks. I'll be here all week.
Wow.
Oh.
The fucking hamsters is funny. You guys are dicks.
Engage.
The Rancor's Ruffle. Great Scott.
Get off my plane.
Hello and welcome to the Rancor's Brothel, the new 52, issue number 52.
Oh yeah.
Suck it, DC. I am your co-host Matt.
And I'm your co-host Cody.
And calling in from a phone booth in Mexico City, just kidding, he just has a shitty internet connection, Aaron Flowers, yay!
And I'm the co-host of Agents of Brothel.
When we had it, yes, before my laptop died. Beth Terry.
Aww.
Too much porn.
No. Too much gravity. She dropped it.
She proved it is a law, though.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God for that. And also, you're the co-host of?
The Heel Angle.
The Heel Angle.
Had to think about that.
Our Follow Network's wrestling podcast. So check that out at www.followthe.tv. Gentlemen!
Yes?
Yep.
What are you reading?
Who you want to start with?
Flowers was just reading a comic book when we called. What were you reading, bud?
I just finished issue number 2 of the New 52 Future's End.
Yeah.
And what's going on in the Future's End?
Well,
since they're trying to rip off Marvel.
It's actually really exciting. At the end of the first one, a big hero died.
Who's the big hero?
Yeah, we can spoil it.
Spoiler alert.
It's a weekly. Alert. It's already old news.
Okay.
Well, actually, it's funny. It's a weekly, but the date at the bottom says July 2014.
Well, that's like I've already gotten my July issue of Playboy, so that's just how things work.
But anyway, the very last page was the Green Arrow dead.
Shut the fuck up!
Nope.
Google.
Why? What happened to him?
Google the cover image for Futures End number 2 when you get a chance. It is an homage to the death of Green Arrow.
Yes.
No, my cat's named after him. I have to kill my cat now.
I don't follow that logic, but okay.
And then you get Chinese food, though.
My fandom is such. Say what?
But then you get Chinese food.
Dude, I had Chinese food last night, and it was disgusting. It was it used to be the best Chinese buffet around here, and all I did yesterday was pay $11 to eat copious amounts of banana pudding. So pissed. However, the banana pudding was bitchin'.
But so Aaron, what did you feel about the
Cody's like back on track and
it's like and we're getting back here.
Let's move.
what do you think of the whole Green Arrow funeral scene?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, just how many put up and how many people just talk about Green Arrow. Great. Like pretty much the entire second issue is the funeral.
Yeah, I think to fill people in, at the end of issue 1, which we didn't ever quite answer Matt's question, Firestorm has shown up too late. He's shown up an hour late to a distress call from Green Arrow, and he arrives in time to recover. Something destroyed a building, and he finds his body amongst the wreckage.
Oh, my God. Come on.
But the good thing I have noticed is every issue has started with 5 years from now. So I have a feeling at one point they are going to go back to the proper time they need to be.
Oh yeah, Future's End. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, Future's End is a universe is set 5 years from present.
Okay, I can live with that then.
It started.
Kill whoever you want. They'll fix it.
And then on the free comic book day issue was actually 30 years in the future.
Yeah, they were meant to jump back to present day, but it was screwed up, so they came back to 5 years from now.
Okay, so Oliver's dead, but he's not really dead yet.
Right.
Not yet.
Did you guys watch the trailer for The Flash?
No.
Oh, for the TV show? It's fucking bitchin'.
The only thing I watched was the little snippet they showed in the middle of Arrow, because I'm really into Arrow, so...
Was that where Green Arrow's like in a field shooting at a tree?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the trailer I'm talking about. And Cody, I'll spoil it for you here.
Fair enough.
Green Arrow's in the middle of a field. Is a tree maybe 150, 200 yards off. And he's firing an arrow at a bullseye on it. arrows flying straight, and like the perspective you see is like you're facing Oliver, and in the distance you see a cloud kind of coming up off the ground, mm-hmm. and it's the Flash running, and he catches the arrow, and he says something witty, and then Green Arrow's like, "Show off." Mm. It was cute.
Yeah. Ooh, that's fun.
Ooh, that's fun. Is that what he said?
I think so.
All right.
And then he said, "Show off." And then with the arrow, he pulled up three arrows. He's like, "You want to try again?"
I missed that part. That's funny.
Yeah.
I watched that today at work. on a break.
Uh-huh.
Jesus. What are you reading, Cody? It's Cody's copious pile of comics.
I didn't count, I think I only had 11 this week, so it wasn't that many to read this time.
You're such an addict. Thank God I have cigarettes. They're cheaper.
I don't know if that's true. Guess it depends on how quickly you smoke them.
Yeah, I say the amount I smoke versus the amount of comics you bring every week to the table, I think you got me beat.
Might be true. But
I don't think your butts that you leave make money later in life.
Well, I like some pretty crappy comics, so I don't know if they're going to
be
good later.
Yeah, he likes some obscure shit, so I don't know. I don't know. You know what we're doing right now before you get going? We're going to go to the Android's Dungeon and get a bunch of, in Avon and get a bunch of dollar comics. We are doing Joe's room now for his third birthday in, All in Superheroes.
Nice.
And it's pretty cool. So that's we're going to awesome. decoupage a lot of stuff and frame up some nice covers, and it's going to be cool.
That'll be cool. That'll be awesome.
Yeah. We got hooks like for each of his capes. He's Batman and Superman and everybody.
Nice.
He has a big Hulk mask and then the Hulk fists.
Awesome.
Runs around saying Joe Smash.
That's fantastic.
Oh, it's awesome. I got a great video of it today. Okay, go ahead. 11 comics. What do you got?
Okay. Well, Aaron definitely hit on the one thing that I wanted to say. DC Weeklies, they're going strong. Batman was good today or this week. Batman Eternal. For everyone who wondered, that is Jim Corrigan, so we do have the Spectre involved.
Ooh.
That was kind of nice. Future's End was great. I mean, you can tell Azzarello has got a strong hand in it. I don't know if either of you have read much Azzarello, but that guy literally does not give a fuck. If you want to hear an awesome comic book interview, they're rare, but look up Brian Azzarello's, because people will be like, "So why'd you choose to take this angle on this character?" And he's got a big, deep, gravelly voice. He's like, "Because I wanted to." And then it's just silence.
Awesome.
Kind of the dick answer, but I'll go with it.
He just doesn't care what people think. He's the one who, I think, quite brilliantly rewrote or retconned Wonder Woman's history to say that she wasn't woman born of woman, and that she was her mother was impregnated by Zeus as a bull or something, you know, kind of classic Greek mythology. It was very cool. Neat idea.
Well, it's good that they did that, because once Clayface figured out that she was made of clay and took over her body, I was kind of done with that whole bit of mythology.
That bit of backstory has jumped the shark, as it were.
Yeah, that was definitely Fonzie on the bike going over the sharks for me.
Let's see, what else do I got to talk about here? Avengers and New Avengers, I've talked about them on the show before. They're teasing how they're getting closer and closer to link storylines. We haven't quite gotten there yet. Jonathan Hickman's being, you know, a cock tease, but those books are also fantastic. Just
cool.
More of the same stuff. Uber's still great. Quantum and Woody is still great. After several months of not having anything, we got another Hellboy in Hell. So Hellboy died in the last giant storyline that Mike Mignola did, and he's currently writing and drawing all these new Hellboy in Hell comics. So it's really cool to see Mignola, you know, do it all. And so this past Wednesday, the first 5 issues came out in trade of Hellboy in Hell, and we got issue 6, which... it's kind of just short stories of him walking around hell beating the crap out of stuff. So it's kind of classic Hellboy. In this case, it involves a guy who cheated at cards during the plague while playing the dead men, because there were no men left alive for him to play. So kind of classic Hellboy.
Oh, very good.
And the only other thing that really caught my eye, you guys know the character Ragdoll from the Batman universe?
Refresh me. I'm not hitting on this.
Kind of just this weird, creepy, alive-looking Raggedy Ann doll.
Okay. Is it a doll or a guy in a suit?
It's a guy in a suit.
Thank God.
But, well...
a Raggedy Ann doll, like, running around killing people would just fucking frighten the shit out of me.
Well, this is why I was saying you guys, you should look up issue 31 of Batgirl, at least the cover, because Ragdoll, I swear I've seen before, maybe even one of the animated shows, but it was just somebody dressed up as a suit. This person is like some weird combination of the Joker and Mr. Fantastic. So he's like stretching all over the rooms, and he's like wrapping people up like a boa constrictor and strangling them. God.
Okay, having nightmares. Let's go.
And he's got creepy you know how they do the creepy jagged text for crazy people?
Yeah.
It's got that. Like, Barbara Gordon's beating the crap out of him, but she just apparently survives. I guess, to be fair, I don't know it's a man. I'm assuming it's a man. But he, like, shows up in silhouette at the end. The guy who hired him to do something, like, they found out he – I don't remember what it was. What was it? Oh. Apparently the guy was mean to monkeys because they were in a some sort of place that was doing testing on animals. And the weird ragdoll person proceeds to scream at the guy, "You didn't tell me you were mean to monkeys." And then he gives him what he called a happy ending, which is apparently strangling him to death with his super stretch Armstrong arms.
It's creepy.
It's creepy as fuck.
It's creepy. I didn't know you were mean to monkeys. It's probably my new favorite line from comic books ever.
That's all.
Yeah, that's bitchin', dude.
It's pretty fucked up, kind of. And that comic has been sitting on my nightstand for the last four nights. So morning I wake up and see that every night before I go to bed, it's the last thing I see.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah, it's creepy.
I say that as I sit here. I'm in my garage in the man cave right now, and Joe has a one of those like punching bag blow-up things, you know, where they, like, you punch it, it comes back into the upright position.
Yeah, it's weighted at the bottom.
It's Bozo the Clown. And so, like, when I'm out here drinking heavily, watching a movie, and I just glance over, I fucking scream. So the Raggedy Ann thing sounds awful. Just awful.
It's pretty creepy.
Glad I'm teaching Joe to beat clowns. Anywho.
Yourself, sir?
God, have I read anything this week? Oh, I've been having my nose buried in Clash of Clans. every waking moment. Or I've been on Wikipedia looking shit up.
Did you get any good responses from your plea for more people in your clan?
Well, it's not a plea. I'm just saying, if you like the Clan Wars segment and you want to help strategize with a group of like-minded individuals, look up the Latent Invaders on Clash of Clans. We left our old clan because they weren't open to suggestion. So we have a smaller clan now, only about 19 people. But we've been winning our wars and we're making the loot. So if you want to get in on that, come on by the Latent Invaders.
Oh boy.
I really need it then.
Well, and something I really like about it is in my clan is two of my brothers-in-law. So John and Nick. Woot woot.
Nice.
Yeah. Good guys. And Jeff Thorpe, Follow Network super fan. He's in there.
Yay!
Yay, Jeff! Hey, Jeffrey! We love you! Okay. The Verses. We don't have a movie of the week this week unless Flowers, have you seen anything good? I watched Frozen, and it sucked.
Oh.
It fucking sucked. Balls.
Have either of you guys watched Amazing Spider-Man 2 yet?
No.
And I fucking hate my life.
Okay, because I enjoyed it. I actually liked it better than the first one.
God damn it.
But I seem to be the rarity about that. Everybody else seems to like the first one more, but I liked it better.
I mean, but like right now we're right in between the release of Spider-Man 2 and then the upcoming Days of Future Past, and I'm like, which one do I want to spend my limited resources on? Damn it. So it can be Days of Future Past, of course.
But one thing I wanted to talk about is there's two deck building games I'm really playing right now, and it's Marvel Legendary and then a DC deck building game too. And they're very fun and very easy to play.
What are they called?
Marvel Legendary, and then DC's is just called the deck building game Heroes Unite.
I say, and that's an actual, I guess we should say, because it's because of the current time and age, you're talking about the actual physical, like, go to the store and purchase card games, correct?
Well, yeah. Yeah, you just go to the store and purchase a card game.
As opposed to it being, like, as soon as you said that, I was thinking of the, oh god, what is that game? There's a smartphone game that is Marvel and you use cards and whatnot. So it's like, oh wait, Legendary.
Is it Yu-Gi-Oh? Yu-Gi-Oh. The answer is Yu-Gi-Oh.
Answer's always Magic. Come on, Matt.
Oh. I didn't play that shit when I was a kid. I'm sorry.
Well, what's,
my friends
cool
and Boy Scouts tried to teach me how to play Magic, and I just got depressed because it was too complicated.
Oh.
Well, Matt, this is nothing like Magic, and you don't have to buy, like, your own cards to play. All the cards come with the game. so you do not have to add your own cards to it.
Well, don't you need another person to play with?
With Marvel, no. You could play it with one player, but with DC, it says 2 to 5 players.
Yeah, so DC, you done lost me. I'm 31 and I have no friends. So I have a 3-year-old son, 2.5-year-old son, whatever. He can't read yet.
I'll bring it Memorial Day weekend and we can play.
Fucking A, race party. Woo!
Woo! Woohoo!
All right, so movie of the week. Cody, have you seen anything?
No, I am watching a potential brothel episode, if anyone listens to this and wants to talk about it for the brothel. I have been able to finally get a connection to HBO for True Detective.
Oh, yeah?
And I like it a lot so far. I'm about 3 episodes into an 8-episode season, so I wouldn't say I'm quite caught up on all of it yet, but it is fantastic. And probably
okay, I'll watch that too. I'll get it on that with you.
It'll probably be a future brothel episode, folks. Just gotta figure out how to get Matt the ability to see it.
No, I have a hookup with HBO.
Oh, nice.
Piracy. And what I mean is Long John Silver.
He
TiVos it for me and we watch it.
Yeah, cause he has HBO Go and it's, you know, on the up and up.
But you know what? Everything he watches is rated R!
For your anybody? View and pleasure.
Anybody? Okay.
Oh, boy.
Thank you. Why do you wrap a hamster in duct tape?
Oh, God. Right.
So it doesn't explode when you fuck it. I'll be here all week, folks. I'll be here all week.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
So, next.
The fucking hamsters is funny. You guys are dicks. What are we talking about now? Is it the verses?
Yeah.
All right. Gentlemen. Well, you should pull that joke out and make that the bump at the beginning.
I was wondering if there's enough silence in there for me to do that.
You just move it around. It's fine. This week, one of the people chosen for the verses was from my wife. I asked her because I never ask her. I was like, who would you like to hear fight? She said, you should do villains. You guys always do good guys. And I'm like, oh, damn, that's right. I mean, not all the time. We've brought, like, the Joker in and stuff, but... I said, well, who's your favorite Batman villain? She said, it's always the Riddler. And I said, okay, we could do the Riddler. But then we're trying to find, like, we're, like, thinking of Marvel characters. Like, who's the, you know, who's the equal of the Riddler in Marvel? Like, can you guys think of anything? Mm. I mean, we'll tell them who we went with in a minute. But in Marvel, can you think of a Riddler-esque character? Somebody that always gives away what their fucking plan is?
See, I don't think there's...
Because of OCD?
I don't think there's anyone quite like the Riddler. I mean, if you expand it a little bit, you have powerful, intelligent villains who aren't necessarily super powered, but I can't think of anyone who's really puzzle based. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like there's not like a Green Arrow Hawkeye, you know, connection. You know, there's not a fucking, I can't even think now. I go Captain or Miss Marvel Wonder Woman connection, you know, where they're all based off of each other.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. So we didn't really come up with one. So we chose out of live action fiction. We went with who, Cody?
We went with the ultimate problem solver, MacGyver.
Problem solved. The problem is solved. It's from Peg plus Cat. Anybody?
No.
Anybody watch PBS all the time with a 2.5-year-old? I've been out of work for 4 weeks. I have watched more PBS now than I did when I was a fucking child, so... Which is probably why I say fuck so much. thank you for the little laugh.
That's what I'm here for.
I wish we had an audience. I'd feel better if somebody laughed. so yeah, you know, okay. The Riddler, Edward Nigma versus MacGyver. What was MacGyver's first name? Jim MacGyver. I made that up.
Say, I'm trying to, like, I'm on the wiki page, and because I was like, oh, this will be useful, and as soon as you ask that, I'm looking, it only refers to him as MacGyver. Oh, Angus. His first name was Angus.
Shut the fuck up. His name is Angus?
Which is probably why they called him Mac all the time.
Oh my god, the Riddler wins. Just because he had a mullet and his name was Angus. Riddler stabs him in the face with his fucking question mark cane. Oh god. Alright. The problem solver who refuses to use a gun...
That's
Angus
true.
MacGyver. So he's kind of Batman-ish in that sense.
Yeah, except poor Batman. He's using a pocket knife and toothpick as opposed to, you know, a $10,000 decoder ring.
Wasn't that always the way? It was always a fucking Swiss Army knife.
Well, yeah, that was his whole shtick. I'm a huge MacGyver fan, actually. And
I was, as a child, very much so.
It was the knife and the subscription to Popular Science when he was a kid. That was his thing. Jeez.
You seem to always have a rubber band too.
They're useful, man.
Don't you?
No.
Well, I think we can all learn a little bit from old Angus here, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. So how's this start? The Riddler decides he wants to barter in intelligence.
Well, I would say if you go with playing off of Zero Year, you know, maybe the Riddler has asked this question in order to save a group of people, or, you know, he's posed a riddle and it's, you know, people are stuck in an elevator or something, and it happens to be our good buddy Angus MacGyver who steps up to the challenge.
I like where you're going with that, trying to not vilify the Riddler, but I kind of really want him to try to break into the Phoenix Foundation.
Fair enough.
And having stole their intelligence, some file on some fucking terrorist group, whatever, that he left behind his telltale clue. Mm. You know, whatever fucking, I can't think of a riddle besides the one about hamster fucking.
I don't think that's a riddle.
It's a riddle if you're into hamster fucking. If not, it's just a joke.
Ah.
Sorry.
Key difference.
Sorry for all you. We just lost all of our hamster enthusiast listeners. Sorry.
And you're going to get a letter from the ASPCA.
Oh, hamsters don't qualify for that. Fucking Sarah McLachlan and her dogs with one eye. That's all they care about, the ASPCA, is dogs with one eye.
What about exploded hamsters, Sarah McLachlan? What about exploded hamsters?
I mean, could we go ahead and predispose that MacGyver will always solve the Riddler, the riddle that the Riddler leaves behind? It'd be just like Batman, right?
I think that's fair, yeah.
So then he would go to the Riddler's lair, in which there is some kind of fucking setup of traps based on riddles.
A maze, something.
He's in a recreation of the labyrinth from Greek mythology. And he keeps running into riddles that he has to answer.
While he's being chased by a guy dressed up as a minotaur.
Just mooing at him. I don't know where to go with this now.
You painted yourself in a corner, haven't you?
MacGyver in a fucking labyrinth with a minotaur, and the Riddler is, I guess, in the control room watching, laughing?
Yeah.
Kind of makes the Riddler like Arcade from Marvel. Hmm.
That's true. This setup, it definitely does.
Where do we go from here? MacGyver solves the labyrinth at relatively no cost to himself. He always knows how to get out with no injury.
Yeah.
You never even see him with a fucking Band-Aid on his finger, you know?
Because he used it.
Because he used the Band-Aid?
Yeah.
He broke it down to its chemical components, made an explosive, and used that to break the lock, and he got out of his cell. Shit, what the fuck do they put in Popular Mechanics if he can do shit like that?
Oh, all kinds of stuff.
I guess I should read that someday. Okay, it comes down to fisticuffs.
Fisticuffs.
Angus MacGyver versus Edward Nygma.
How is anyone going to lose to someone named Angus in fisticuffs?
The other guy's name is Nygma. That's kind of
weird. Yeah, but we all know it's just a pun for Enigma.
Yeah, well, we know that thanks to Batman Forever.
Would you say because Angus has a mullet, he has to be good at fisticuffs?
No, it's because he's Irish.
Oh, okay.
MacGyver.
The mullet's just a bonus.
He's Scottish.
Oh, is it MacGyver? Scottish, yeah.
Yeah, not Scottish.
Right. What goes down in a fight with these two? Man. At the end of the labyrinth, Nygma gasses and puts him in a cell. MacGyver has time in his cell with standard plumbing and a cot to figure out what to do. What does MacGyver do?
Okay, so we're trapped in a cell with a cot with standard plumbing.
He has a toilet and a sink, like the toilet sink combination that you see in TV.
Right.
In jail cells.
Is there anything in the toilet?
Nothing in the toilet besides water and poop streaks.
Does he have a window?
I will go with yes. He has a 2 foot by 18 inch window, 3 bars. At, you know, head height, 5 foot.
What is the most... Because, see, that's the thing I always loved about MacGyver. It was always loosely based on science enough that you could believe it, but not quite.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say that what he probably did was... We've got bars on the door as well, too. So this is like your classic cartoony jail cell, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so what he probably did was knowing that the metal composition of whatever it was that, you know, he tears apart the bed, he uses his pocket knife to somehow fashion a chisel, and then he chisels apart part of the wall, the stone wall or whatever it is, and he refines it with the sheets from the cot to get to the actual minerals that he wants, which he collects in the knob off of the sink. He then mixes that with water and graphite from his Swiss Army knife to create some sort of acid, which he then uses to pour into the lock, which, you know, bursts it open and it falls over like a badass.
That's way better than mine. I was just going to say that when the Riddler comes by to bring him dinner, he's going to throw poop at him. So,
that's normally
good job, Cody.
See, it loosely is based on science, except for the fact that nothing would ever react like that way in real life.
Well, I mean, like, he, you know, get the chisel, he could take his shirt off, get it wet in the sink, wrap it around two of the bars in the window, twist them until they loosen because the bars aren't properly anchored in the cement, pulls out those, then he uses that as his chisel. You know, I mean, there's ways to do some of it.
You just have to have some sort of explosion whenever MacGyver escapes. It just looks better. Or he has to fly off a cliff or something.
He could
go ahead.
He could also use his poop for something, too. Like to wipe it on the bars or something to eat away at that.
It's going to take a real long time.
As we all know, Angus MacGyver poops acid.
He just starts throwing up stomach acid constantly in order to make the mixture work.
That's awful. His teeth all rot out because he's anorexic. Gross. Okay, so MacGyver busts out. He has a chisel and a pocket knife. Nygma has a question mark cane and a bowler hat. What happens? I honestly think Nygma says, "Hey, what's that over there?" And when MacGyver turns, Nygma runs. But that's just me.
I wonder. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's going to end with MacGyver not catching Enigma at all.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's just going to be a chase. MacGyver?
No, I think it's just going to be a going chase, just kind of like Tom and Jerry. It never ends.
And then they find out they both died and gone to hell. And that's exactly why their fight never ends.
Yep, exactly.
Until Hellboy comes along.
Full
circle.
I would
think in a battle of wits, I would think that the Riddler would win.
But he couldn't ever trap him, I think, long enough. He might be smarter than him. I think he's definitely smarter than him initially. Although wasn't MacGyver supposed to have like some sort of weird encyclopedia knowledge of all things, you know, sciency? Like, wasn't
all
he supposed
things
to
things sciency?
Like, I just remember, like, I know he's gone and like deactivated nuclear weapons and shit. So, I mean, I think any sort of puzzle he puts him in, like, MacGyver's the ultimate, he is the antithesis. He will solve the puzzle.
So he's kind of like Mr. Miracle from DC. He'll always escape.
But the Riddler always has more puzzles.
Okay, if they just started doing this in perpetuity, I guess the real question is, who would give up first?
I mean, Enigma's kind of stringy. He's not really a strong guy. But MacGyver, I don't know, he works out. Anderson.
Maybe, like, this versus cuts to 6 months down the road, and Enigma's, like, just wiping the sweat off of his brow, like, oh, God, gotta come up with another riddle. And it's just, like, the unstoppable juggernaut that is MacGyver just keeps bashing through all of his puzzles.
It is what happens when the juggernaut runs into the blob, when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object.
Exactly.
Damn. You know what? In the end, I gotta say, Enigma just beats him to death with a fucking cane.
That's the last riddle.
Because MacGyver won't kill him.
That's true.
And how's MacGyver really going to capture him with a pocket knife if they are in a fight? It's not gonna happen. He's not gonna use the knife as a stabbing weapon. He's got nothing to really knock him out with.
That's true.
I think Enigma just brains him with a fucking question cane.
But I think as he's bleeding out, MacGyver says something to him that makes him realize that all along that Angus got the moral victory because he always solved the riddle. The Riddler
so
could MacGyver, not beat him.
The last thing MacGyver says is a riddle that the Riddler can't solve.
Oh, devious.
But it's really just nonsense. Like MacGyver didn't give him a riddle, he just said some bullshit. Like, this will really fuck with him. See you in hell, cocksmoker. And then he says his riddle.
Enigma just, like, jumps off the nearest cliff.
Yeah. He gives it a good week, and then he's like, fuck this, I'm out. Blows his head off. Okay. Again, We're in a long string of very silly versuses. If you have a good versus, will you please fucking send it in? Send it in to matt@followthe.tv, because this is hard.
Post it on our Facebook.
Yeah, post it on the Facebook page. That's fine. Gentlemen.
Yes.
Me and Aaron used to host a show called Agents of Brothel, all about our fandom for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC Tuesdays. The show ended this past week.
Yes.
The season finale.
Yep.
Let's talk about it.
So, spoiler alert, continue.
Yes, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it or Captain America 2, you will be upset. So, shut this off if you haven't seen that and you plan on watching it. Let's start with Captain America 2.
Okay.
Cap 2 ends with S.H.I.E.L.D. in shambles.
Yeah.
Nick Fury is on the lam.
Mm-hmm.
Maria Hill is working for Tony Stark now. Hydra has been defeated, but the toll that it took, S.H.I.E.L.D. is no more.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America's missing. Nobody knows where he's at. Let's cut to S.H.I.E.L.D., to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They've been dealing with the uprising of Hydra within their ranks, one of their own group. The main cast characters in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. turns out to have been a Hydra member. And then, Bill Paxton, Agent Gareth, is a Hydra member as well.
Mm-hmm.
Have you finished the show, Cody?
Yes, I did. We watched it the very next day.
Great, great, great. As the finale happens, you have Agent Ward has ejected Fitz and Simmons from the plane. They're now in the bottom of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Coulson, May, else is with them? Sky.
Coulson, May, Sky, and what's the other guy's name?
Yeah, what's the new guy's name?
It's not Mike Peterson. It's,
No.
It's,
He's descended from one of the Howling Commandos. It was his grandfather.
Is it?
I'm trying to get to IMDb fast enough.
Who's going to win the race? Is it Cody? Is it Aaron? Who knows?
Well, let's see. This is weird. Okay. Well, I pulled up the, as usual, I try to be prepared, and I pulled up
Triplet.
The Is it Triplet?
Triplet, yes. Thank you. So those four are off on their own, trying to figure out what to do. They have Triplet's grandfather's old spy gear from when he was a Howling Commando and a founding member of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's a sweet, sweet gag throughout the whole episode. I love that bit.
Oh, yeah.
Just said orgasm the first time he saw
it. Oh, it was so funny. Oh, my God, is this the real blah, blah, blah disintegration ray or whatever?
It's
a prototype, actually. Oh, my God.
I shit you not. If they were to come out with a collector's edition of just mock-ups of those things, I would probably buy them. I'm a huge Coulson fan. You can actually buy his near-mint trading cards, which I've always wanted to do, but they're ridiculously expensive. It's very funny stuff.
What do you think of Coulson being introduced into the Marvel Universe, into the main universe, the comics?
I think it's interesting because much like what's fascinating is that some of these characters have just that we've seen in the films, it's boosted, as I think you're alluding to, it's boosted their appearances in a lot of the comics. So all of the Nick Furies, you know, since Samuel Jackson has taken it over, they've looked much more Samuel L. Jackson-y. And now you're seeing Clark Gregg illustrations in all the agents or in all the areas where Agent Coulson shows up because he's just made that character. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And he's popping up everywhere. I mean, I've seen him in almost every comic I've read. You know, it's like, oh, Coulson shows up with, Maria Hill. Maria Hill still looks like she does from past comics where she doesn't at all look like Colby Smulders or however the hell you say that woman's name.
Colby Cheese Smulders, whatever.
But yeah, Clark Gregg has made an indelible mark, I think, on the universe. And it's great because he's, I think, before your go-to agent was Maria Hill. Maria Hill was in everything. Now you're seeing Coulson all over the place.
Absolutely. It's kind of fun to see that. In the episode, Gareth has taken the weird Kree endocrine system drug that Sky and Coulson had taken before, but because he has Deathlok technology in him, it not only makes him better, but it heals his wounds, but it It allows him to use the full potential of his Deathlock implants.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's super strong. He has a weird focused clarity of mind that is actually a little batshit crazy, but whatever.
Although, short of seeing him do the whole Kali Ma and tear the, you know, the general's heart out, did we really see him do anything badass? I was trying to think of that as you were saying it.
Yeah, did you notice that general was the same general from First Class?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he died in that movie too, but that guy's good at dying in uniform. Hooray for you, Mr. Actor Man.
But yeah, he totally looked badass, but we never really saw him do, you know, go all kung fu on anybody or deathlock the crap out of people.
Yeah, we didn't, did we? Flowers, what are your thoughts?
I just love the entire episode. I enjoy everything you guys are saying.
At the end of the episode, they kind of did an after credits thing where Bill Paxton wakes up in his, like, body bag.
Oh, my
crawls
God.
Crawls over to this med bay or whatever, gets in there and has the med bay, like, armors him, gives him the rest of his Deathlock armor. And sits there and gives his villain monologue and, like, I'm more powerful than ever. Nothing can stop me. And then he just disintegrates. And the camera pans over to Coulson, and he's holding the Nazi Tesseract powered death ray from the second episode.
Yep.
And he's just like, oh, hey guys, I found it.
Still works.
Yeah, still works. Was that not, like, that was, I rewound that and had to watch it again a couple times. It was fucking hilarious. But did you feel it was out of place?
I don't know. I think that it, you,
I think it, I think what it did was more of end Bill Paxton, like, because they probably would have been like, well, I mean, he had all that stuff in him. Why wouldn't he just come back to life and regenerate? Because okay, already was.
If Coulson and Sky have the weird Kree endocrine system thing in them, will they regenerate from death?
They already did.
They already did, but will it happen again?
Yeah.
Because let's remember, Deathlock Gareth took that originally to fix what was going wrong with him. Then he got shot a bunch. And he healed again, apparently. So do they have some kind of a healing factor now? Is this the Marvel Cinematic Universe's version of the Infinity Formula? The Infinity
Maybe.
Serum?
Maybe.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I think if you look at it in context, though, I mean, it, like Aaron said, you wonder whether or not he would regenerate. But more importantly, I think that Marvel is getting much better at its sort of teasers, and so people are expecting them. So I think it's almost them doing the unexpected. You're sitting there going, oh man, he's dead. Is he, you know, he can't really be dead. And then you get the very cliche comic book. Oh my God. You know, he's going to blah, 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 blah.
Oh, here's season two.
Oh, here's season two. Oh, this is it. I'm getting it. I'm getting the teaser. And then he explodes before your eyes. And it's just like, no big deal. Like Coulson walks away like, you know, a gunfighter at the OK Corral. It's so totally out of place for his whole character because he's very concerned about people and whatnot that it's so comical. It's just a gag. You know what I mean? It may as well have not happened, I think, anyway. I don't think it contributes to the story from here going out.
Well, doesn't that lead to, though, Coulson carrying that to the closet and then start writing on the wall?
No, that happens in the middle of the night. He wakes up.
Okay.
And goes in there and starts writing in that weird Kree language.
Well, what's interesting to me is, so it's my understanding, and you guys obviously have analyzed it way more than I have, but the whole Tahiti project, the whole thought behind Tahiti was to cover up those memories so that the psychotic episodes and the bizarre natures that they saw from the other test subjects weren't prevalent. But now that, you know, Coulson knows what has happened to him. He's learned it. And now he's seeing things that Garrett has started creating. Is it waking up some sort of internal thing in him where he's now going to become psychotic? That's kind of what
I want to do that. Can't do that, no.
See, imagine half of next season, like up to the mid-season break, where you've got a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, where you've got Coulson being Coulson and he's fine. But then in the middle of the night, he's waking up and secretly, like, you know, doing bizarre evil machinations and whatnot.
He's being the clairvoyant in his sleep.
Well, I mean, but it's the design that he's making, at least to me, looks like it's some sort of alien technology. So maybe he starts building some sort of weird Kree death ray or something in his sleep.
See, I thought it was just like Kree language.
To me, it reads as an electronic diagram because it looked like it had resistors and so forth in it.
See, I thought it looked like binary.
I mean, I guess
all lines and circles, those ones and zeros and whatever Cree.
I don't know.
Well, see, time will tell on that one.
I kind of thought maybe it was more of a time thing, just because Garrick did it sooner than Coulson because he had the serum in him. So it expedited the process of him thinking about the Kree stuff. And so maybe it just took Coulson that much time to realize about the Kree.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's all speculation right now.
Absolutely.
But it's fun.
What did we think of Nick Cage? God damn it. Nick Fury. Sam Jackson's cameo.
Did anyone else constantly watch it to see if they were actually filming on the same set at the same time? Because I did. Guess not.
No, I didn't.
You were looking for a green screen or something?
Well, if you go back and watch that episode, maybe it was just me. I noticed things like this. They did a lot of two-shot cuts. So you're seeing over the shoulder of Sam Jackson, then you're seeing over the shoulder of Agent Coulson. And I was like, are they actually in the same room? Or did they just bring, Sam Jackson in to film this in 10 minutes? And then they're like, we'll edit the footage so it looks okay.
You're breaking the fourth wall, man.
They do that stuff. That stuff actually happens. At one point, because I kept going, is he going to touch him? Because they were standing side by side, but I'm like, they could have corrected this. And then at one point, he puts his hand on his shoulder, and it's like, oh, okay, Samuel Jackson's actually there.
I love, man, when he pulls out the fucking destroyer weapon, the weapon based on the destroyer from Thor, the one that Coulson shot Loki with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? Did you, we cheered. Me and Natalie fucking cheered at a TV show.
I just loved the monologue between them, too. It was just funny. I actually laughed out loud.
Dude, when he showed up, when Nick Fury first showed up and he was wearing the clothes he was wearing at the end of Cap 2, I fucking teared up. I won't even lie. I was so excited.
They have lived up to their hashtag, it's all connected, marketing shtick they've put in the comics lately.
Yeah.
Because everything, like you said, it's almost like he left there, went.
Yeah, he left that storage unit where he burned his shit in Cap 2, and it's like he went straight there.
Yeah.
Like, first he went and picked up Fitz and Simmons.
Right.
Like, he fucking had some kind of psychic power and knew it was happening, and then he went straight to Coulson. Just insane.
Since you did mention it, I'd like to get you guys' takes on what do you think is going to happen to Fitz? Because we did not see him at the end. And they're all kind of, subtly looking at each other like, oh, God. So what's going on with Fitz?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe maybe he's in a coma for half a season. And Simmons or Fitz or whatever the girl is and triplets start dating and then he comes back, causes a little tension, maybe.
I fully
seek solace in his arms or something.
As the bus's back the door was going down, I turned to Ambrosia while we were watching. I was like, you're totally gonna see him
in a wheelchair, is what I said.
Yeah, in a wheelchair.
That's what I thought too.
And he's paraplegic or quadriplegic or something, and it's just like, oh no.
He's talking like Stephen Hawking.
Oh, that would be awful.
Let's
go get Hydra. That
would
have been awful. That would have been an awful ending. I'd have cried.
You would have cried more than you already did.
He told you he loves you. God damn it. Now he can't use his wiener anymore to show you he loves you.
The coma.
Semen.
Oh, the coma angle sounds like a pretty good idea, actually, though.
Well, I mean, if I was a writer, and I am, Bovine, check it out. www.followthe.tv/bovine. That's one of the avenues you could go down for sure.
True.
Last point to talk about Patton Oswalt's return.
Yay!
And I like to point out he's the narrator on the Goldberg, so there's a solid hour and a half on Tuesdays with Patton Oswalt on ABC.
Nice.
Which the Goldbergs ended fantastically too.
Isn't that the fucking hilarious show? I don't like sitcoms, but that is goddamn hilarious.
I didn't like it at first, but this last one was hilarious.
Yeah, I was in a plane crash once. What? Who are you?
Yeah.
Was that a life model decoy? Was that, or was that the brother that he plays Call of Duty with? Were they both S.H.I.E.L.D. agents?
Damn it. He's probably going to, I was all ready to say, we're finally getting to clones. We're finally getting to agent clones, you know, the robotic clones and the mm-hmm. Nick Fury clones that we're used to seeing. But then I just realized you were talking about Call of Duty, and I'm like, God damn it. That's probably the right answer.
Yeah. I mean, it's a possibility, but he didn't seem to realize anything about his brother. Like, he didn't say, like, oh, you guys met my brother, you know,
which
is something you would have said. He just acted like the exact same character. I'll get your, you know, oh, Agent Coulson, it's great to meet you. You'll have your lanyard in a moment. The rest of you will get them on a case-by-case basis. Like, that was just like his original character. So,
well, didn't
that
say
kind of led me towards Life Model Decoy.
Well, didn't they say as soon as the bus opened, they're like whatever his name was, oh, it's you. And he was like, no, that's my brother. But, and then they went into that whole spiel.
But
like,
couldn't that be a Life Model Decoy?
Well, right.
You were a clone that was in a top secret SHIELD facility. That's your only job, is to be in charge of this top secret clone facility. And then there's another top secret SHIELD facility with, you know, another guy running it. And you're both clones. You're my clone brother, right?
I'm saying, yeah, that they're clones that played Call of Duty together.
So it's
only. Aaron's going with both.
That's the answer. I like it. You're like all of the above.
Yes. Yes. And yes.
I just think it's so great because Patton Oswalt is. I mean, I've seen interviews with him before. He's the real deal comic book nerd. And it's just great because he's, you know, he more so probably than any other actor that we've seen in the Marvel Universe is living his childhood dream because he's on TV. He is an agent of SHIELD. You know what I mean? Like that's gotta be awesome, which is why I was so sad when he ends up, you know, getting garroted.
Yeah.
But it'd be awesome if he's if he's a clone, because they always talk about these robotic, you know, clones and. Why not? We've talked about it all the time. Oh, is so-and-so a clone? Was Coulson
in the
a clone?
In the Avengers, you know, Robert Downey Jr. says, oh, you've reached the Life Model Decoy of Tony Stark.
That's a good point.
You know, they fucking use the word. Patton Oswalt, if you haven't heard it, he has a great bit in a stand-up about the Star Wars prequels that on the Nerdist YouTube channel they animated as if Patton Oswalt was testifying in a court of law. Check it out. Fucking amazing. It's one of the best, most, it's one of the most, what am I looking for here? Just passionate pieces of stand-up you'll ever hear.
Nice.
And for those of us in nerd culture that love this shit, it's perfect. Check it out. Guys, do you have any more thoughts about SHIELD before we go today?
Yes.
What?
What do you think they're going to do for season two?
Well, it hasn't been announced yet, so hopefully the flagging numbers don't doom this show, since ABC owns Marvel and ABC. Disney owns ABC and Marvel. Hopefully they'll keep pushing through.
I was just Googling it myself. I think you're right, Aaron. I thought they did push it through already.
They did?
I know IMDb has season 2 listed.
Fucking A, I want to do a shot for that. I'm going to be all drunk tonight. Like, here's to you, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. God love you. God love you, United States of America.
Well, because they left so many things unanswered.
Well, that's what Marvel does.
Yep. According to Marvel's website right now, it says Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2 moves to 9 p.m. So it looks like it's getting closer to a death slot, but we'll get a Season 2.
Awesome. They're going to call it Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or they're going to call it Rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D. with Director Coulson.
And it's also Agent Carter is getting a show as well.
Yes. Yes. Peggy Carter.
Apparently. So it looks like, at least from this press release, which has no date on it that I can see. Apparently the Agent Carter will occupy the same slot, when it airs between the fall finale and winter premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So.
I will occupy Peggy Carter's slot.
Oh, yeah. See what
Whoa.
You did there.
Hello. Love me some 1940s pussy. What up?
So weird.
She's old enough to be your grandma. Fuck you.
So do you think we'll ever figure out what's up with Sky?
Yeah, I bet maybe major plot point next season.
I hope so.
Flowers is still out there, you know. I like hearing Gareth say your name, Aaron. It's fun.
Thanks.
Hey, what are you doing, Flowers?
I think that I think it depends on how much Joss Whedon has to say about it, because he's never been one to throw those MacGuffins out there, so he will want to integrate her story into it, but.
And it's Joss's brother Jed who's real big into doing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know?
Yeah, so I wonder, although actually looking at the episode list right now, Jed did not write as many of the episodes as you would think.
But he was still a creative consultant.
Oh yeah, no, he was.
I think he produced it too, so. guys, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Yep. Yes.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is an amazing event where you can connect two Marvel movies as they were occurring in the theaters through weekly television. If you haven't watched them, I'm sure they'll be on Netflix very soon or some such shit, especially with Netflix's connection with Marvel in the upcoming four direct-to-Netflix television shows.
Oh, my God. That's going to be awesome.
That's going to be a week that nobody will see me because I'll be on Netflix every moment.
Yeah.
Look for them soon. Check them out if you haven't watched them yet. They're just wonderful. And go rent or buy Thor 2 and Cap 2 so that you can kind of follow along. You know what I mean? Like, do it the way you should do it. At the appropriate time, watch Thor 2. And at the appropriate time, watch Cap 2. Because it's going to make more sense to you. Okay? This is an integrated event. If there were comics that connected with it, I would tell you to fucking read them too. Think integration when you watch S.H.I.E.L.D. It's not a standalone show. It is a connection to a universe that we have been loving since 2008. I hope that you continue to do so.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to keep watching it. It was definitely a slow burn, but like the second half of the season I thought was just fantastic and not enough people watched it.
Yeah, get on it, especially the Uprising storyline. So,
yes.
Closing thoughts? Be kind to one another. Love each other.
Phil Coulson is the man.
Phil Coulson is the man. My wife has a huge crush on him. I get laid on Tuesdays. That's now going on hiatus. So.
It's okay. I have a crush on Phil Coulson, too. He's awesome.
Which is also why I get laid on Tuesdays.
Yep, that's going to stop as well.
Oh, no.
I enjoy Sky, and so I get laid by myself on Tuesdays.
Ah, Flowers wins.
That's weird.
You win for disgusting sexual reference, sir. All right. Really, though, good night. Thank you. God bless. Keep watching. Keep listening. And we'll keep bringing you more at www.followthe.tv. Oh, Excelsior.
Hail Hydra!
Fuck you!